to the son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. The assigned New Testament text for today we find in the prologue of the Gospel according to St. John, where in verses 6 to 9 and verse 15 we read as follows. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, and our Advent King, my dear Christian friends, there are a few books in the Bible where the author tells us specifically why he has written his book. One of these is the Gospel according to St. John, because in the second last chapter, in chapter 20, verse 31, John the Apostle says, But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So there are three things that John wants to accomplish. First of all, he wants to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Jews were looking forward to a Messiah, but many of them did not believe that he was God. But John is saying that the Christ, the Mashiach, was the Son of God. Secondly, he wants to bring about belief in this Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the result will be that through Jesus, men will have eternal life. The author of our gospel, which has been called by Clement of Alexandria the spiritual gospel, is worked out so that John endeavors to marshal evidence for his position that Christ was the Son of God. The word martyreo and the word martyria occur a total of 47 times in the Gospel according to St. John, in the words to witness and the witness, while in all three other Gospels, the concept of witnessing is only occurs 16 times. Now, John marshals a series of people and ways in which he witnesses to the fact that Christ was the promised Messiah and was the Son of God. First of all, he gives his own testimony, which you have constantly throughout the gospel. Then he gives us the testimony or witness, the martyria of John the Baptist. He gives us the witness of God the Father. He gives us the witness of God the Holy Spirit. He gives us the witness of Christ himself. There are his remarkable I Ams, each one of them testifying to the belief of and the conviction of Christ that he was the Son of God. Furthermore, he gives the witness of his terata, of his great miracles. He gives the witness of the omniscience of our Lord. He gives a testimony of the sinless life of our Lord, and finally, of his resurrection. So he comes at the reader and at the hearers from all sides. Unfortunately, however, he also shows in this gospel that there were people who refused to accept Jesus Christ. And so you have this great contrast going right throughout the gospel, namely of belief versus unbelief, which is really already set forth in the prologue, the first 18 verses of our gospel. Today I would like to draw your attention to the testimony of John the Baptizer concerning Christ as found in the prologue. The four verses which we just read to you before constitute, as far as the prologue is concerned, the witness of John the Baptist to Jesus Christ. And there are two central ideas which are emphasized in the prologue by John the Baptist. He gave witness to him that he was the light. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Later on, you'll recall that Jesus himself said, when he was at the Feast of Tabernacles in chapter 8, I am the light of the world. The word light is certainly a wonderful designation to describe the character of our Lord. Light, as you know, is pure. So is ice, water, and air. But all of these may be contaminated, but not so with light. Jesus Christ was absolutely sinless. Man, ever since the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden, is conceived and born in sin. Man comes into this world already with what we would call inherited sin or original sin. There is none of just men upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not, but there is one exception, and that was Jesus Christ. He came from heaven to this earth. He lay as a pure and holy child in the manger in Bethlehem, and he returned again to heaven on the day of the ascension as the spotless Lamb of God. What Peter said about Jesus was true, that there was no guile nor sin found in him. Pilate had to admit before the Jewish people, his accusers, I find no fault in him at all. And Judas Iscariot, who had betrayed Jesus for the price of a slave, stood before the scribes and Pharisees and said, I have sinned, and that I have shed innocent, and I have betrayed innocent blood. Oh, if there had been one flaw in the spotless armor of Jesus, his enemies would have found it, but not one of them was able to challenge his statement, which of you convinces me of sin? Yes, Jesus was holy. Jesus was pure like the light. The word light is certainly an admirable term to describe Jesus because light is free. You don't have to pay for it. There isn't a nook or corner in this wide world into which light is not willing to come with its cheering smiles. And this is what we know about Jesus. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. He says, him that cometh to me will I in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The gospel of Jesus Christ is meant for all people, for all nations, for all people, for all races. Jesus Christ wants to be accepted by all, and his salvation is 100% free. Yes, light is a wonderful description of the nature and character of our Lord. Light, as you know, also dispels darkness and gives light, life. What a dreary and what a terrible place this world would be if there were constant darkness. Nothing would be able to grow. And so life is associated with light. And Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus dispels all darkness. The Gospel of St. John, as I already have said, operates with great contrast. Light and darkness, error and truth, belief and unbelief. How does Jesus remove darkness? Of course, darkness refers to sin. Later on in the first chapter, when Jesus was coming to be baptized of John the Baptizer in the Jordan, we're told that John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It was going to be by Christ's death upon the cross, where he would be carrying the burden of the world's sin, for which he would suffer and die, and whose debt he would pay. It was by that method that Jesus would remove darkness and again, bring light to the world. The other fact, which is stressed by John the Baptizer, as given by John the Evangelist, is, we read in verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Here John the Baptizer is simply agreeing with what the Evangelist says in the opening words of his prologue when he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In the prologue, we have a remarkable statement which speaks about the pre-existence of Christ. In any harmony of life of Christ, if it's a responsible one, if it's an accurate one, it starts with this passage of the prologue, namely that Christ is eternal. He's been eternal with the Father. And he therefore, even though he was born about 6 months after John the Baptist, yet John is right when he says, he was before me. He was before me, because before he assumed man's human nature in Bethlehem, he already existed from all eternity. And so this is a unique way in which John the Baptist testifies to the deity of Jesus Christ, namely that Jesus Christ really was the Son of God. The third Sunday in Advent, which speaks about the work of John the Baptist, traditionally has been the Sunday in which the Christian church is reminded of the importance of the Christian ministry. That is also shown, of course, by the selection of the epistle lesson in 1 Corinthians 4, let a man so account of us as stewards of the mysteries of God. What a privilege, my friends, it is for you and for me to walk in the footsteps of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, of course, was a prophet. What he spoke, he received by divine revelation. But you and I can proclaim the same message because the same Word of God is now before us and before us in the Christian church in a written, objective form. The Bible is the inscripturated revelation of God. The same message which John the Baptist preached, we can preach. And if we're going to be faithful as John the Baptist was, then we must preach the same Christ that he preached. Namely, that Christ, who was eternal, miracle of miracles, assumed our flesh and blood because, as John says, and the Word, the Logos, was made flesh and tabernacled among us. And John, the Evangelist, says, and we behold his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The great objective of the ministry of John the Baptizer was to prepare people for Christ and to bring them to accept Jesus Christ. And after all, isn't that the real purpose of our ministry? We are certainly missing our calling, and we would certainly not be following in the footsteps of prophetic John the Baptist if we preach a different kind of Christ. If we, for instance, were to reject the idea that he was God, very God of very God, begotten, not made. If we were to merely depict him as a wonderful philosopher, as a great teacher, as a great lover of mankind, but would fail to preach Christ and him crucified. If we would fail to tell people that they're lost and condemned and their only hope, not only for this life, but especially for the life to come, would be to put their complete trust in what Jesus did for them upon the cross. Yes, it is our great privilege to do what St. Paul says, to say to people, become ye reconciled unto God, because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. The Christian ministry is a wonderful profession. In fact, it's the best of all professions when you realize that you can really take care of the sin problem. If you really realize that you can prepare people for a happy eternity, that we can, by means of this great message which the Lord of the Church has entrusted to us, that we can direct people to Christ, and someday they will be among those who, as in the book of Revelation, will be standing up among that great crowd who will be singing praise and honor to the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. May God use each and every one of us to proclaim the same message that John did, and that eternity will show that our preaching and our proclamation, our witness, was successful. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.